again, it comes out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. I'm going to back up to verse 32. And the scripture text this week is about the resurrection and the crucifixion. And let me get to the right page here. And Luke's Gospel talks about the crucifixion, you know, and it's about when Simon Cyrene was voluntold, hey, come and carry this guy's cross. But later on in the scripture, I'm going to pick it back up in verse 32. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him, and finally they came to a place called the Skull. All three were there. They were crucified, and they hung on the center of the cross. Jesus was there, and the two criminals on either side. Red Letter Edition, Jesus said, Father, forgive these people, because they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders laughed and scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself. If he's really God's chosen one, you know, the Messiah. The soldiers mocked him also by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And they put a signboard above his head and nailed it to the cross with these words, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, Don't you fear God even when you're dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Red Letter Edition in verse 43, Jesus replied, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. May God add his blessings to reading, hearing, and the understanding of his holy word with a little bit of Ralphieism included. Amen. Paradise promise. Well, that's what we want to talk about today. I think we've all seen sometimes traveling around, you'll see a house or a building or something that is so close to the road. You wonder, why is it so close to the road, especially in a busy intersection? Well, maybe the home was built in the area at that time, and maybe it was all farmland. You know, a small dirt road ran nearby, but plenty of space in the front yard. However, we know times changed, and as the years went by, that dirt road became a macadam road, and traffic increased, and the little town that was close by grew, and this little house inched closer and closer to the road, and the front door, which seems to be impossible, but it was right there close to the road. So then the home was abandoned. The wind is boarded up, the house in disrepair and left, and it starts to deteriorate. Either they would have to tear down this house, move it, or renovate it somewhere else on the property. But commercial buildings are a little different. It's rare that a commercial building is condemned. But a home, it's easy to condemn it because it's no longer livable. Possesses a safety hazard, a fire hazard, and structurally no longer sound. You see a lot of these homes around, especially in rural areas of where we live, that you can see where the house has been abandoned and it's fallen down and all that's in a sad state. But sometimes you can run across some of these places and it's more cosmetic than structural. And maybe somebody wants to rebuild it or do something, even if it's expensive. But the decision has to be made, either to restore or move the house to another location or to make it a historical landmark. You know, to create some kind of museum. Wealthy donors donate. The town's historical society gets involved, and the house is transported, repaired, or even restored. And it's now entered into a second life as a gift to all who enter. Down there on Gaines Street, there's a little barber shop that was moved into there. It was one of the original barber shops in the area, and it's been restored and put there as a historical marker. It's really an interesting place. It looks kind of out of place as you drive around, but there it is, a barber shop. But I don't think you can go get your hair cut anymore. It's more historical than anything else. If we were to slow down, to condemn a life, even, like we do a home. Sadly, I think our judgments and our neighbors and our fellow human beings would often come down to personal feeling about who lives next door, or how they look, or how they behave on the surface. A name by the name of Justine was a young teenager. It's a made-up name, just to let you know what I'm thinking about. Justine was, beginning in her early life, get in trouble. Her family had experienced difficulties with her. She found herself acting out instead of dealing with her tumultuous emotions. This went on into her early adulthood until one too many offenses landed her in prison for a long time. Lost and alone and afraid with no hope for a future, she resigned herself to eventual condemnation by others and even herself. Then one day, a fellow offender invited her to take part in a Christian Bible group in prison. Well, she scoffed at it at first, but one day she went down to go to the Bible study because she was feeling so down and out. She said, "What the heck? I'll give it a try, just to relieve myself from the monotony of the day in prison." Well, at that meeting, the leader read the scripture that we shared today in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and he explained to the woman that each of the two men who hung on the cross with Jesus that day were indeed guilty and had been condemned justly. But when one saw Jesus for who he was and asked him to keep him in mind, Jesus immediately made that decision to offer him restoration. He had done nothing differently to deserve that sentence. He was mistakenly condemned by Pilate and, sentenced by the Romans, Jews, to be crucified. But he was given a gift. The gift of redemption. And how the thief on the cross, one denied him, one said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Simply because he asked, he was forgiven and given a place in paradise. Now, Justine left that day from that Bible study with her life changed. Nothing physically had changed, but she had changed. From the inside out, so to speak. Hope had been restored, and she finally understood what she needed to do. She knew that she had done wrong, no doubt about it. She knew that she had messed up her life, and yet someone, Jesus, thought she was worth enough to move her to a different place in her life, to restore her, and to give her another chance at life. Justine began to change, and she came at life with renewed energy. She engaged in a college prep course during the remainder of her time in prison. She went to the Bible study every week, and soon she began mentoring others. By the time her sentence was up, Justine was ready to enter back into society a new person. Today, Justine's a lawyer for young women who have been incarcerated for juvenile and young adult crimes. She not only helps them legally the best that she can, but she encourages them to read the scriptures and let them know that they too are worth a second chance in the eyes of God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. A ticket for a different life. I sing that song sometimes, and I use it for my theme song on my radio program, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Call on him now for your reservation. Justine Dinn. Now, not all of us need to be at death's door or incarcerated in prison to understand the promise that Jesus makes to us, if only we ask him. The beauty of Jesus is that he opens that door to every one of us. No matter how guilty we feel, no matter how bad that we've been, whether we've done a little sinning or a whole lot of sinning, we are, as human beings, made all about condemnation. But Jesus is all about restoration. You see, often we can get the wrong idea about God, and it happens in society. And we're hard on ourselves and self-condemn ourselves to a life of loneliness or emotional grief and decide to ourselves that God must surely think the same. But our self-deception is one of the greatest lies of the great deceiver. You know who is the great deceiver? Oh yeah, it's the devil. He got a lot of names in scriptures, but he is the one who deceives us. God created us all, every one of us good. And God declares us good. And God delights in our presence and mourns our self-flagellation in the same as our inflections upon others. God has every desire to renovate our spirits, to move us to a different place, to establish us in a new lease on life and offer us a life that cannot be destroyed. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's God's paradise promise, and we see it in the scripture today with Jesus. Now, the word paradise is a very unusual one in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures, the word used for the Garden of Eden. The word is, and I always mess these words up, paradisios, and is a Persian loan word meaning pleasure garden. Within the garden lies the tree of life. We've heard all them stories. And when God's beautiful Eden, Garden of Eden, is a beautiful garden for us and for our pleasure, our lives fell into despair by somebody being deceived. But God's goal throughout the eternity of the scripture has always been to return us to that garden, the beautiful place of life, peace, pleasure, serenity. I like serenity. The peace that passes all understanding. If we would only turn to God and ask for restoration. So when that thief on the cross, who knows what he had done and knew that he was justly condemned, oh yeah, I'm guilty, Lord, he turned to Jesus and asked him to remember him, keep him in mind, not to forget him when he entered into his kingdom. And Jesus replied, my own paraphrase, I tell you today, you'll be with me in the garden of life someday. Jesus, in saying these words, offered that condemned man hope, the hope for a different and renewed and a reconstructed life, a hope for a new tomorrow, a hope that he might have a new chance, the hope for eternal life. Wow, that's our hope. All of us, whether we've been bad or good, you know, the hope of eternal life, the promised kingdom, the promised paradise. Well, the man had done nothing in his life to deserve it, and neither do we. But he had been condemned justly, and as goodness knows, so are we sometimes condemned justly. Things that we've done in our life, the deceiver always telling us how bad we are, and oh yeah, you must have committed the unpardonable sin, but we didn't. And the reason we know that, if you worry whether you committed the unpardonable sin, you hadn't, because your spirit is connecting with God's spirit to giving us that hope and that joy. But the good news is, all of that mess is erased away by the words of Jesus. Jesus had the power, the presence, the grace to take our weary, wretched, guilty souls to be transfigured with him into a shiny beacon of eternal hope. He has the power to change us from hopeless to hope with just one promise, the promise of salvation. I hope and pray everybody within our voice has made that choice to accept the promise of salvation simply by saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Wow, what a joy, what a promise, what a beautiful thing. Because many of us suffered in various ways in our lifetime on this earth. I don't think anyone has ever not done crazy stuff in this lifetime. But whether things that we have done or from things that others have done to us, and sometimes that happens too, we carry all this guilt with us, an impaling cross, if you would, and yet Jesus wants to set us free. We all know the end of this story, right? You heard me say it before, because without it, we would always be just a religious sect. But because of the resurrection, Jesus' life does not end on the cross, but he merely offers himself as a sacrifice to prove to us resurrection, eternal life, and that it's real. That's God's promise to us. A little bit of Ralphism. I think that God give us a clue about eternal life, because this old body on the outside gets wretched and wore down and all that, but the spirit that lives within you, the spirit of you, inside of you, is just as fresh and as young and alive that we always were. But the outside says, not so good. I think that's God's way of letting us know we have eternal life, because of that spirit within us. And all we need to do is just ask. Jesus will keep every one of us on his mind when he goes into his kingdom. He'll remember you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and yeah, even this old preacher, when he enters into the kingdom garden, that place of new life. The question for all of us sometimes is, have you ever lived a life full of hurts, wear and tear, aging, tragedy? I think most of us have. But does your spiritual health continue? Your health and your house continue to have value in the eyes of the Lord? You betcha, every single day. Now, one day at a time is a little long, I think, so I kind of say, yeah, remember me, Lord, every second of the day. You know, we always think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. And I close with a prayer and a thought for all of us. May Jesus' blessing of peace and promise be upon you this day and forevermore. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day, and thank you for listening to the online message this day. Hope to see you in church in person someday soon. God loves you, and so do I.